Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. Joining me soon via Skype is Vinny Eastwood from Auckland, New Zealand, and James Robert Wright on the run from the Illuminati, currently in Los Angeles. This is Highway Diary, episode 256. Here we go.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state is Vinny's jokes.
Now, today, ladies and gentlemen, so sorry for those of you who have tuned in and found that I'm a little bit late. And also those of you on the backup channel that noticed I've forgot to make the video full screen. But nevertheless, we do actually have a couple of guests on the line here. We're doing a trimalcast, and that's when you're just trying to simulcast. So who have we got here? We've got Eric Hollerbach and James Wright, have we?
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay, well, James has been on the show many times before, and these guys are stripping on the bandwidth, so you're going to see a lot of Vinny Eastwood today. Guys, let me just know a little bit about what's happening right now. Those of you who haven't heard the background of James Wright, he basically turned a whistleblower on one of the most powerful Masonic lodges in the United States, the Dallas Scottish Rite, exposing their mistreatment of him as a gay man, and also their dark occulted rituals. And indeed, one of the most interesting factoids I found was the discovery of the Sentinel program, whereby the Freemasons have a list of all the Masons in every city around wherever the hell they are. So if they need a cop to come and tap and rap you, they need a lawyer to string you up, they need a psychiatrist to put you away by giving you a bad report, they can do it. And they've actually got the documents to prove that they are the Illuminati. I saw the frickin' letterhead myself. The Order of the Illuminati. These people are brazen as. And I asked James one time, are you talking about the Supreme Council of the Scottish Rite in Dallas, Texas? These people are actually the Illuminati. Like, in capital letters, the definite article, the Illuminati. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, they've even confirmed it themselves. So without, as they say in the state of Israel, further ado, I'd like to welcome James Wright and Eric Hollerbach. In fact, I'm very unfamiliar with Eric. You might not want to give yourself a little bit of an intro after that lavish praise of mine for James and the work he does, and the amount of Masonic stalking of all kinds, and technology tampering of all kinds, and basically getting kicked out of everywhere that you go in, and being so badly traumatized by the thing that maintaining relationships with ordinary human beings becomes almost an impossibility, as if you're possessed by frickin' demons that have been sent after you by a dark Masonic order of sorcerers. So anyway, so
what an intro.
I'm just taking a stab.
So I'm good friends with James Wright. This is Eric Hollerbach speaking. I'm a comedian. I had you on my podcast like 2 years ago or something like that. You're a great guy. We talk conspiracies. But I met James in Los Angeles, and I have him on my podcast after he does Project Camelot. And he is just such a wealth of information, having worked for the Dallas Scottish Rite. Now, there's only two places where you can earn the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite. That is in Washington, D.C., and that is in Dallas. And Dallas. So James was in the belly of the beast. He got involved with the OTO, which, you know, they're all about gay rights, because maybe they do gay rights during their initiations.
Now, this isn't recent OTO. We're talking about the OG OTO, right?
I think they're still putting it in butts and stuff. You know, that's what I heard, but what I would say is that James wrote a book, and he was getting gay batched in the Scottish Rite, and the OTO published his book, Freemasonry, Hidden Rituals and Abuses. He wrote this book, and it was published by the OTO. Is this not right?
Yes. And matter of fact, the man who facilitated that book deal was Lon Milo Duquette, who is the Grand Master. Now, I should clarify, recently there was a disinformation agent of the worst kind by the name of Leo Lyons Yami. He published in his last book that I am some sort of active Illuminati agent of some kind that is some sort of sex slave, and also, what else was it? I'm a member of the OTO. Now, see, my relationship with the OTO was always one of them begging me to join. I had stacks of letters over years, you know, please join, please join. And I would go to their meetings, but it was like, yeah, not my thing. It seems kind of like an Aleister Crowley fan club meeting. Not really interested. And they would just continue begging and begging and begging me. And, I just always kind of looked at them with kind of pity. Because, I mean, they think they're
got a better
so
picture.
Wonderful. But they have 3,000 members approximately globally. You know, they're not that big. And, anyway, I am not a card-carrying member. I never joined, yet I was a frequent dinner guest at the home of the Grandmaster here in Los Angeles until all that fell through for the reasons it did with the book publisher New Falcon CEO turning out to be a Jerry Sandusky type.
So James spent all of 2019 basically in the gulag and then in courtrooms. Is this right? What happened, James?
Well, out of nowhere, my so-called mother, the woman who carried me in her womb, from the family that raised me in Dallas, they suddenly out of nowhere... This mother character that I've been estranged from since I was 17 filed charges that I broke into her house in Dallas. Mind you, she doesn't live in the house. It's vacant. She still owns it. But I broke into this house to wait for it, steal her tax returns. So I was picked up by federal agents on Wilshire Boulevard, and I was held in Los Angeles County lockup downtown for the maximum amount of time that they could, which was basically 29 days and 23 hours until the last minute when they would have had to legally let me go. And then at the 11th hour, wouldn't you know it, two Walker Texas Ranger looking Dallas sheriffs coming marching in, acting like they're just Mr. Wonderful, and they proceed to inform us all that they are there to escort me back to Texas as a federal fugitive. Very bizarre. You know, I get there and I spent the night in jail in Dallas, like one night. And then at the arraignment there, they didn't understand why I was there. Just like they didn't understand why they were booking me downtown at LAPD. On a side note, I should mention that they said in the confusion of why I was under arrest, that LAPD is going, well, we're having trouble figuring out where we're supposed to send you next, because it says here that you're wanted for felony fugitive burglary, blah, 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 from Dallas, Texas. But then we need to ask you, where were you in March of 2000? And I go, in high school as a senior, sitting in class in Dallas. Why? Well, it says here that you were robbing a convenience store in Seattle, Washington, and you're also wanted for fugitive armed robbery. And I'm like, okay, if you can't see that there's something seriously wrong here, because it wasn't like a case of I had the same name as someone else. It's I had the same social security number, the same ID number, the same picture, the same, you know. So this was all cooked up in NCIC, which is the FBI and Secret Service database of, like, most wanted criminals. Usually they're coming into the U.S. is the premise why you would get an entry into that system. So they fly me out there. These court appearances begin. And it's one after the other after the other, where nothing is actually ever really done. It's like this meet in the lobby outside the courtroom in the courthouse in Dallas, and basically shake hands and say, okay, thank you. No, we're in a similar court appointment here, but you got to be back in a month. Now, remember, be back. And otherwise, you know, we'll just reissue another warrant and all this. I'm thinking, okay. So this goes on for months and months and months, flying back and forth, back and forth. And then suddenly they decide, mind you, after having gone through, I think, six public defenders at this time who kept either quitting because they didn't understand why they were there or because all of a sudden they went from being on my side to the next minute, like, not returning my calls, and then I'd finally get a hold of them and they'd be freaked out and be like, please don't ever call me again. And I'm thinking, what is going on? You know? And I knew that my family was obviously all up in it. It was a personal moment where I had the revelation of just how far their power and reach goes, which I guess I had previously been a little naive to. Plus, all these years, you know, getting to Los Angeles and getting to start like a sort of like fresh new start on life, so to speak, here, I never really wanted that garbage with my family and how awful they are and everything there, to which always defined me there locally. I could never be known as me because I always had to be known as that kid from that family, and that was never the case here. But because of all this, it kind of merged those two worlds together, which I'm not very pleased with. And so this charade keeps going on and on and on and becoming weirder and weirder. Again, nothing's getting done. Finally, they assign me this public defender, and he has a very clear, on paper, connection to my family. And I raised this objection as a conflict of interest. It was dismissed. I tried to then, when they said, you know, bring whatever evidence you have, which were actually all Dallas County court documents, signed, sealed, notarized, official documents, can't be disputed, that apparently don't exist anymore from some late night shredding session. So that created a problem. So they told me that my evidence wasn't admissible, which it is, because it's real documents. So that means that the court was in the rare position of doing something that is called when a court perjures itself. And yet, we persisted. They said we were going to trial. And then this elusive mother character of mine, who no one has seen or heard from or anything, don't know if she's even alive or dead, they tell me on this one morning, the morning that it hit the fan, that she's on her way in. And what evidence do you have that can shine a light on it? So I pulled out her father's will, which clearly states in it that I have not been paid trust payments for my entire life, that any failure of Dallas County courts to see to that means that an independent committee would have to be assigned, and everybody involved, mother, this, all the above, would have to be audited, and I would have to be compensated. So, all of a sudden, they say, after having told me that my mother and her witnesses were on their way in, and the trial was starting that day, suddenly, they're all turning around, and they can't come in that day. Okay, well, in American law, that means that, okay, case dismissed.
So James showed Grandpappy Rockefeller, who started Dallas, had James Robert Wright in the will. He brings that will. All of a sudden, everything disappears, and they scatter like cockroaches. That's what happened.
Yeah, because, they thought that I only had her mother's will. And for years, their excuse has been, well, you know, it keeps giving mention to this trust, but there's no actual trust document included here, so we're just to assume that she never got around to setting it up. Well, no, the correct answer is you defer to her husband's will for that document, in which it states that, you know, basically I should have all the money in the world, to put it bluntly, and other things, like I should be able to attend any top-rate Ivy League university I want for as long as I want, whenever I want. And so when I threw that in their face, I said, yeah, since she's on her way, tell her to bring her checkbook, because I'd like to enroll in Pepperdine for one class a semester in basket weaving for the rest of my life. And then they all just, like, ran for the elevator, literally. And then I cussed out the judge, the DA, and the cops, who should have probably, under any other circumstances, been arresting me at that point for contempt of court. Instead, they were lining up to take, like, selfies with me in the lobby. It was a shit show. It was a total shit show.
James is he's a displaced aristocrat, you know? It's like he should have been an aristocrat, and then he kicked the silver in the front of the lodge door, like Jesus Christ, and now they've been after him his whole life. Venice,
so essentially, elite families of this world have been seeding lesser elite families of this world, and then basically abusing and neglecting those children so that they could quite likely grow up to be mean and conscienceless, and then they wind up getting themselves involved in the occult, where they get subjected to even further abuse and mind control, where eventually they could be a very useful puppet or placement vessel for a demonic entity, whereby they could puppet the person throughout the rest of their scumbaggery life, kind of thing.
But see, grandma's got a gambling addiction, and there goes your fucking Pepperdine University tuition. It's gone, you know what I mean?
Well, no. Their money is so vast. Like, okay, my aunt, who took over raising me when my mother decided she was done at 17, she just recently died. I went home for the funeral, and there were a lot of revelations that came out about that. I mean, everybody already knew that no one in this family of mine look alike. And the thing of it is if you want to talk about how dark this gets, okay, all of the kids that were my aunts, all right, my cousins, they were all adopted. Now, my mother did birth me. That much is true. Well, not her egg. She did give live birth to me. But
I just want to say how great it is to be part of this conversation. Continue.
So everybody that grew up in that house, my cousins, me, one way or the other, we were all, as my aunt put it, someone's aristocratic uh-oh. Like, my cousin David, for example, which Eric had some experience with those shenanigans while I was in town, his mother, who was adopted, technically he's my second cousin, but he's my age. His mother's real father is David James Rothschild of Belgium. And so he is a Rothschild. Matter of fact, if you look at him and you look at a picture of the current, like, known philanthropist, David Rothschild Jr., you're looking at the same person, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about this. I was talking about this with my listeners the other day. I talked about the black nobility, the nobility that is completely behind the scenes and really rule everything. Everybody's related, that sort of thing. And somebody says, black nobility? What are you talking about? Is that racist or something? It's like, no, I'm not alleging that a bunch of African people
I found out that the reason, the motivation of why the feds were so eager to step and fetch in, like, that whole detaining me and shipping me to Dallas little stunt was because apparently I breached national security when I began talking about my family there going by the last name Brown. Ha ha ha. Are really Rockefellers, and this constituted a breach of national security, and they were perfectly happy and willing to gulag me and basically put me in what I would consider Guantanamo Bay conditions for a month for fun. None of this is on, I mean, I have the paperwork that I had from it at the time, but try and find it now, you know? And then to learn that I've been jacking with this all the way up until just like this recent February, and yet it was already off the books, and the court appearances were so theatrical that they were not even on the books apparently after August of last year. So yeah, and then, you know, their goal was to like scare me, shut me up, but they thought wrong again, because all it did was just piss me off more and make me even more determined to see to it that everything they have, like the majority of which is CBS broadcasting, is taken down, no matter what the cost.
So that's essentially what's happening here, ladies and gentlemen. You've got a Freemason whistleblower who's being stalked by the dark occult because he has a tie to a massive fortune that pertains to CBS and could basically take over the corporation and start spreading truth with it instead of BS, which is why they called it CBS, because that's all you see.
That's correct, and I love that little joke. It would have been like my aunt and my grandmother characters, quote unquote. I mean, they really did have love for me in the capacity that they could. They set things up, I guess, as an act of trying to redeem themselves spiritually or whatever, to where, yes, I was supposed to have that, so that with a bit of an ironic sense of humor, you know, sort of use CBS dollars to bring CBS down. But she having died of Alzheimer's and her children having subverted that will at every angle that they could, which 2 years now after her death is still, it just got its fourth application for probate. So once again, something in the Dallas County Courts is not being checked into. Meanwhile, they're running around saying that all her money was gone. There's only about $2 million left. Okay, that's hilarious, because D Magazine, which is like the premier Who's Who magazine of Dallas, has been forever. In 1984, did an article about my family, and they estimated our net worth to be at $2.8 billion. So, I don't know how they're trying to explain that, you know, billions of dollars were lost, but they weren't. It's been moved around and put in dummy corporations, and apparently the Dallas County Probate Court is not going to make them answer for that. But what's interesting to me is that, you know, sooner or later, those bankers of theirs, like Goldman Sachs and whatnot, they're going to want to know where the hell's the money, because I mean, this is the kind of money we're talking about that could crash a stock market if it just disappeared, you know? So it's very odd what's going on with them, and it's to a point now where it's so traumatic for me that I can't deal with them anymore.
Well, we can sidetrack a little bit. I have this great audio clip. Prince Harry is another, you know, test tube baby, whatever. He's got perfect royal blood. Maybe it was just semen that was mailed frozen in a container somewhere. But Prince Henry, Harry was called by some Russian trolls, and he said something really interesting. So I have that clip here.
It's not an easy time, and the world is in a troubled place. And, well, unfortunately, the world is being led by some very sick people.
So he just candidly said that the world is being led by some really sick people. I thought his family ran things.
Bingo. Why do you think he fled? Okay, here's the thing. Because Vinny's already done a show about this, because there was that half-sister of mine, Karina, who took to the airwaves to announce that Diana is actually my mother. It might shock some people to hear that, but what do I have to back that up with? Well, a lot, including the Dodi Al-Fayed ring from the crash that is now mine, amongst other things, and all the little black cars and agencies that had to accost me after she did that. See, she wanted me to believe that she was doing that to, like, help me and get the truth out or whatever, but no, that was a power play between her and her father, Prince Charles, because, yes, Prince Charles had children before he met Diana. And the thing about William is, because I'm so sick and tired of this stuff, I'm not really beating around the bush anymore, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. To all those out there who have been of the crowd that has for years said that they believe William is the Antichrist, well, congratulations. You can all throw up, pat yourselves on the back party, because now I'm here to tell you, you were right. He is a golem. He is a thing. And he was created from DNA extracted from the Shroud of Turin. So if you want to know what Jesus Christ looked like, the man, look at Prince William. That's what he looked like. But your clones don't have a soul. So it's the perfect vessel for the perfect series of events to occur to bring about this Armageddon that they all want so bad as Satanists. And
yeah, that was something you told me a while back, is that the reason why the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry has 33 degrees is because each degree basically removes a level of your spiritual protection, and upon the 33rd degree, which, you know, is something you have to be tapped on the shoulder to get, that's when all your spiritual protection is gone, and that's when they can pull you out and stuff something else in.
Yes, interestingly, you know, in the local Blue Lodges, where they just do the first 3 degrees to Master Mason in, you know, any small town anywhere in the world, they're believing that they're promoting patriotism and get open lodge, you know, do the, say the national, I mean, the Pledge of Allegiance and all that. And, but then you get to the 32nd degree and you're informed that, by the way, your new form of government that your allegiance is with the Scottish Rite form of government, quote unquote, meaning you are no longer bound by patriotism to be an American above all else, or whatever country you're in, that you're supposed to, from that moment forward, say yes to treason, and that you will do anything that they want done to subvert the government of the countries that they are in.
What happened to Princess Diana's soul after she crashed under Moon Bridge?
There were people already inside from this cabal that were there waiting. And they conducted a ritual. Everybody has always asked, why did they keep her in that ambulance for 2.5 hours, and the hospital was down the street, and why were there all these first eyewitness on the scene accounts that she was out of the car and walking around, a little bit disoriented, but otherwise walking, talking seemed fine-ish. And next thing you know, this holding her in this ambulance, she's dead. And I'm pretty sure that they bled her out during this occult ritual, which was conducted right there in the spot, because that spot, that tunnel, is an old sacrifice ground to the goddess Diana. That's why it was chosen. And it's all very sick. And, you know, it's Harry has been trying so hard to get his message out, and I figure his situation with the control and the electronic tampering and everything must dwarf mine. And mine is horrendous. And, you know, I know that he knows the truth. And I know that he knows a few things about me. And he's right here in Los Angeles, but it's like I can't even get to him because I don't know his number. And if I was to go try and drive to what is reportedly in the press where he's living, you know, who knows what kind of crazy shenanigans that could trigger. But all I want is to, like, find my brother and give him a big old hug and, you know, fight this together. Because, I mean, William is the Antichrist. And I'm not some holy roller. You know me, Vinny, in the years that we know each other. I don't go around getting all Jesus-y on people, but in this instance, I'm just calling a spade a spade.
Yeah, well, I was having an interview with Rachel Vaughan, and she was ritualistically abused, and she was participated in rituals when she was a child, where other children were sacrificed, and dark entities made of shadow were summoned, some in the shape of Baphomet, some in the shape of Horus, depending on the temple that was doing the summoning, right? So there is stuff out there, ladies and gentlemen, that is absolutely real, and these people who summoned these creatures were absolutely terrified of them, okay? So even though these people have all this wealth and power and dominance and can't be, you know, challenged by the courts or anything like that, whatever entities that they're serving are absolutely vicious and cruel and demonic, right? And they're justifiably afraid of them, afraid to do what's right because of the consequences to their soul or their body, you know, or whatever it is that they have.
Yes. Like how my family in the hierarchy of Dallas, like the Masons can't really tell them anything or whatever because they're above them. But on the food chain of elites, they're not above another group. And this is interesting because this has only been coming up in the past couple of years since Karina made her little announcement she made, which is that word Jesuit. Jesuit. I keep having run-ins with Jesuits who seem to be controlling my surroundings to the levels of paying people to sleep with me and make me think that, you know, it's a date and the person is interested in me and, you know, all sorts of things. Anything at all to keep me distracted or keep me out of Los Angeles. And the minute, interestingly, I'm like, okay, that's it, I'm done. And I just say, to hell with this, and I come back to L.A., now all of a sudden William is putting these things in the press telling Harry that he needs to get out of LA, you know, because it's just not safe. Clearly he didn't move here thinking that. He moved here for the same reason I did, which was to get as far away from my sick family as possible. And I can only imagine the hell that he's going through up there where he's living. And I know that I can help. Like, I know I have good friends and resources here in California that could be of assistance to him and his aims. And I just would once like to know an actual relative that is nice. I've never experienced that, really. So...
Yeah, my family's not too great, but they're slightly less horrible to me than yours has been to you. Now, I was just like, oh, dude, man, the stuff that James has gone through, folks, it's horrific. And,
so,
can
I say
that the matter is, when you're dealing with complex post-traumatic stress after many years of abuse and stuff like that, your ability to think cogently, to tell stories that have a beginning and a middle and an end and everything, that's subject to neurological damage, all right? And that's essentially what's happened to James here. So, you know, give him some patience, that kind of thing. And listen to what he's got to say, folks, because it's very, very important. Sorry, Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, there was a period where James was homeless, and I would see him, like, literally in the park. We would meet up when I was living in Los Angeles, and I was, you know, living in the back of an office at the time, you know? And when I met him out in the woods one time, he's like, yeah, the PR guy from the Masons of California who has been pretending to be a homeless person for 5 days and now is starting to talk to me about containing what I know about them. And it's just like, Jesus Christ. Like, they're just, no matter where James ends up...
I get all this on tape. This is not speculative. I record these things. So it's all there. I put it out. That's why I live on permanent everything bans, you know?
Can I tell you, I went to the New School for undergrad, which is in New York City. It's a little liberal arts college, but the president at the time was a guy called Bob Carey, and he was on the 9/11 commission. And he was confronted. I wrote an article about 9/11 when I was in undergrad, saying it was all bullshit in 2007.
I'm sure your professor just fucking loved that.
He was like, my one professor told me one time, he's like, they're listening. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, they're listening. And I was like, what? Like, you know, he said this, my journalism, it was like a journalism class I was getting 3 college credits for, but I had to write on the newspaper. And he said this to me after I wrote an article. But anyway, Bob Carey, I couldn't get an interview with him. I tried to get an interview with Bob Carey for the school newspaper about 9/11. He rejected my call. He was on the commission. In 2009, he was confronted by people who asked him questions about 9/11, and I have this exclusive audio. Now, by the way, when I download this audio, it messed up my computer for a long time. I'm telling you, I put in GarageBand.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, if you're having any interruption problems, we know it's the Pentagon, so go ahead, bro.
This is flagged. This audio is flagged.
Bringing all this unwanted attention to my already demonetized and warned channel. This is going to be great. Go ahead, bro.
Okay.
I'm not frightened at all.
Yeah, this is flagged audio.
It's only my livelihood, bro. So don't worry about it.
Okay, so this is Bob Carey. He's on the 9/11 Commission report. He was the president of the New School University in New York City when I was an undergrad there. This is what he said in 2009, okay?
Well, I was just wondering, real quick, why didn't they talk about Building 7 in the report?
That's good.
Why do you think that was?
I don't have an easy answer for you. No. I'm going to ask it one time.
Do you see this medical thing right now?
Yeah. Anyway,
thank
you. Do you support a criminal investigation into 9/11? Because I know yours was an exposition. It was not a criminal investigation.
I don't think so, but I don't know. I mean, I do support a permanent commission to examine not just that, but lots of other things in this area.
But if it's a permanent cover-up, then it's. I mean, if it's an act of war and it's hiding things, which everyone on your commission knew that the Pentagon was changing their stories, lying to you, right. And it's a cover-up of an act of war, and under Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, it's treason. So unless we get to the very bottom of it, then we're still talking a treasonous exposition.
This is a longer conversation. I'm not sure this one you ever get to the bottom of it.
We have to, or they can't save our countries.
I don't think, well, if that's the condition upon which we're going to be saving our country, I don't. Because the problem is, it's a 30-year-old conspiracy.
No, I'm talking about 9/11.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you are. You mean
it? Yeah. Anyway, I got it.
You guys hear all that?
Not so much. You might want to give a recap.
He says at the very end there, he says there should be a permanent commission to look into this, meaning Building 7, 9/11, and lots of other things. At the very end, in 2009, he says, you guys have to understand, this is a 30-year conspiracy. And he goes, 9/11? He goes, yeah, 9/11. Anyway, thanks, guys. I got to go. This is 2009. So he said it's a 30-year conspiracy, 2001, 8 years ago, 9/11 happened. He goes, you guys don't understand. This is a 30-year conspiracy.
Well, it seems to tie in then with 1984, actually, Reaganomics, which also got mimicked in New Zealand, called Rogernomics. And they essentially then started to offload most nations, or rather sovereign nations' strategic assets to private buyers. And that was essentially the start of the Agenda 21 precursor that later got culminated in Agenda 21 in 1992. So if he's talking about a 30-year conspiracy, that kind of like puts it on the timeline between the takeover of the neoliberal economists and the subsequent Agenda 21, and then using false flags, things of that nature, 9/11 or whatever, to essentially just facilitate things and just go, hey, look, you're really, really afraid now, aren't you? Yeah, well, why don't you just give up some of your rights, Cam? You know, just it'll be all right. Don't worry. So we'll give them back.
It amazes me that people can understand the plot to the Star Wars films and they can't see what's right in front of their face in their own world. or don't want to see, or whatever.
I think it's because they've been confused. The nature of reality is being explained to you literally on the screens of movie theaters, and then it is being systematically denied and told to you it doesn't exist on the news channels.
So every now and then somebody will get caught, and there's something called the ICC, the International Criminal Court at The Hague. The Nazis, you know, they were naughty boys. They go to the ICC, and they go...
Sorry to interrupt, but Trump just, attempted to annex the ICC.
So, I have...
Just as they incidentally started to look into war crimes that the U.S. might have committed in Iraq and Afghanistan, incidentally enough.
So, the Secretary of State is Mike Pompeo, and this is how he threatened the International Criminal Court. This is what he said to threaten them. After they started looking into 9/11.
We want to identify those responsible for this partisan investigation and their family members who may want to travel to the United States or engage in activity that's inconsistent with making sure we protect Americans.
I think it's really important to step back and remember why it is that the International Criminal Court is investigating, and that is because the Bush administration established a global torture program after 9/11. And over three administrations, no one has been held accountable.
Since 1998, the United States has declined to join the ICC because of its broad, unaccountable prosecutorial powers and the threat it poses to American national sovereignty. We are determined to protect the American and allied military and civilian personnel from living in fear of unjust prosecution for actions taken to defend our great nation.
So, torture, an international torture program, and some of these lawyers are claiming rape at Gitmo. So, rape and torture is part of the national security. Listen, you guys, we have a job to do. It's national security. I don't know if you understand this, so we have to... Any investigation...
Who are you listening to me? Who are you listening to me? National security.
I can't tell you why I have to bust this nut right now. I can't tell you why that's a national state secret. But
I could tell you why I'm raping you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Oh my god.
You know, it could be worse. The world could be run by satanic pedophiles. How about that? Thank God that's not the case, right?
It's like, you know, Gitmo, you know, the OTO, they only think of one way to solve everything.
They call it Gitmo because you get more of this. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Vinny, these are lives. How dare you? Unbelievable.
How dare you? You have stolen my dreams! What? My childhood!
Well, actually, you know, on this Nazi note, that's one of the reasons why they don't want this Diana and embryos and all this stuff coming out in the mainstream, because it's not all about, like, me or Harry or her or even the royal family for that matter. This has to do within the bigger picture, the Nazi science that was doing these things years before the public knew that they could go to, say, a fertility clinic and have the same procedure, you know. So or this notion of designer babies or whatever. So you know, and by the way, I'd just like to add here, I know that there's, like, the trolls out there who would say, you know, oh, yeah, he's just, like, trying to make this claim because he's obviously trying to get some money. No. Let me explain something. If someone was to say to me, congratulations, we made a mix-up and you're now the King of England, I'd be king for about a day, because as my first act, I would dissolve the monarchy, declaring it pointless, okay? Number two,
I completely agree with the idea. I completely agree with the idea of dissolving the monarchy, and I also believe sulfuric acid would be best. But continue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, had Diana lived, she was going to move to Malibu. There was a house built, ready and waiting. And wouldn't you know it, that last round of fires, the Woolsey fire last year, that house got torched, and it was one of those fires where, wouldn't you know it, it just so happened to miss every tree. Only got the house. And,
one of those directed energy fires, huh?
Right, yeah. because at that point, Harry had announced that he was going to be moving to Los Angeles. And so they thought they would put a stop to that. And as far as, like, being motivated by money, no, because I walked away from a trust fund that could buy the Bahamas in order to make the choices I've made and do what I do, feeling like, I don't know, I don't want to go to hell, basically. And
you don't want to take that 33rd step into the abyss.
Yeah, well, I don't want that kind of karma on me to live life like those people do. And yes, it would be wonderful to have money, because I am technically still homeless. It's just that I have great friends here who are activists who kind of, you know, underground railroad me around. And that's my life.
But speaking of, you know, James Robert Wright recently, he's been looking into the coronavirus. And by the way, Vinny, I want to know how things are in New Zealand. Is it drive-through birthdays and drive-through graduations? Is that all happening over there?
No, they pretty much lifted all the restrictions.
You're back to normal?
Like two people who came in from overseas then skipped their quarantine and then went down to Wellington and then were found to have the coronavirus, and so the whole country's freaking out. I had a whole bunch of news on it, but now you guys have taken over the show. But
I saw some of those news clippings go by, so I was asking you about the coronavirus. But James, he infiltrated a Silicon Valley conversation, like the technocrats get online.
Don't get too specific.
All right.
They still don't know which and where.
Okay, well, I will say that...
And because I'm working, trying to help Dr. Judy Mikovits and Bobby Kennedy, RFK Jr., with their fighting back to this stuff, because what this is really all about is big data using the guise of a pandemic to hone in the latest, greatest rewrites of their tech that they have hired mercenary hackers off of, like, you know, say, GitHub or whatever, to come in and write under the guise of being open source so that they can have plausible deniability as to where the hell the code came through. This is the same code that everyone is probably familiar with because it's probably come through on an update for their Android or iOS device with this contact tracing. Has nothing to do with your health. It has to do with they have reverse engineered Bluetooth itself toward now, instead of just being plain old plain Jane Bluetooth, it's now basically emitting a signal that goes right through your wall, right through you, and provides them with the same sort of imaging capability the sonogram does. It's like called CGT or whatever. Sonogram scan, CGT scan, or whatever. So basically,
don't you send sonograms to people on their birthdays?
I mean, I didn't know that people who aren't pregnant, like, you know, men, need to have a 24/7 sonogram going on. But okay.
So I mean, problem, it's problem, reaction, solution. So they create the coronavirus, and then they say, "Oh well." What big data wanted to do anyway, I mean, this is super important for tracking where this coronavirus goes. So
yes,
we
yes,
need the
yes,
legislation to...
That was the final frontier, right? Right?
See, your civil rights... Yeah, your civil rights, it doesn't involve medical in a pandemic. This is an emergency. So we have to do emergency measures to track everyone's data. Get everyone's dick pics, you know, get everyone's emails, personal information. That's what they wanted to do the whole time. And now...
Oh, not just that. The code is so sophisticated, and with the AI and the quantum computers, they can get it whenever they... Whatever their deadline is irrelevant, because once it's reached in its full potential, they're going to be able to dial back in time and look at your dick pic you had in the year 2000... or whatever, on a computer. This is so bad that basically, there's no way I would ever, he's one of my idols, Bobby Kennedy, and I would never
screw up an ongoing investigation he's trying to have, you know, done by preemptively saying what some of the evidence is. But what I will say at this point, only because I find it in the health of being a good person and human interest to do so, everybody needs to stop using Bluetooth right now. Turn it off. Forget you have it. Stop using it. I'm sorry. If you love your Bose Bluetooth thing that your phone connects to and plays you, or you love the convenience of your newer model car that the Bluetooth connectivity has with your phone integrating this, you gotta stop. Everybody has to stop. And if you turn off your Bluetooth and stop using it right now, it's going to throw all this contact tracing stuff into a tailspin, okay? And another good thing to do is to use their own tools against them, and one of which was being how successful we saw it was during Standing Rock for that viral thing for everybody to check in at Standing Rock, therefore making it impossible for the intel agencies to figure out which journalists and activists were actually there and who wasn't. And so, you know, if we start doing things like that, it's going to derail this contact tracing crap. And this isn't, again, about medical. They're making it sound medical because it plays into people's fears, and it's the last bit of data they couldn't legally obtain. Well, this goes around HIPAA. Have this whole, like, oh, well, we found it on the subway excuse, you know.
So the Secretary of State who threatened the International Criminal Court, I played for you, and their families, we're going to do the sanctions, and their families, he says this over and over, to threaten the International Criminal Court about don't look at war crimes. So this is what Mike Pompeo has said about COVID-19.
I just can't offer you anything for this morning.
Okay, thanks on that. I want to turn to China with intelligence officials, as we mentioned, saying that the Chinese government intentionally concealed the severity of COVID-19 from the international community in early January while it stockpiled medical supplies. In terms of international concealing, I assume you think they did that intentionally to keep as many masks for themselves as possible.
It's all bullshit.
Will there be some sort of retaliation?
Martha, you've got the facts.
This is what they call flooding you with information, so it's so confusing you can't figure out what the actual plot is.
Right, so he's about to point to where this virus came from so he can sue them in sort of an international global reset, I believe.
Just about right. We can confirm that the Chinese Communist Party did all that it could to make sure that the world didn't learn in a timely fashion about what was taking place. There's lots of evidence of that. Some of it you can see in public, right? We've seen announcements. We've seen the fact that they kicked journalists out. We saw the fact that those who were trying to report on this, medical professionals inside of China, were silenced. They shut down reporting. All the kind of things that authoritarian regimes do. It's the way communist parties operate. This is classic communist disinformation effort.
So classic communist disinformation effort to conceal that this came from a lab in Wuhan and that they conceal medical supplies. So he's getting ready to paint China as the perpetrator and then the cover-up. And he's like, this is classic disinformation. They're even shutting down journalists. Well, when journalists cover ICC condemning the U.S. for war crimes, then he's okay with the journalists being heads being ripped off. But when they're not reporting on the Wuhan lab makes China look bad, then all of a sudden, you know, it's just everything this person says is fucking disgusting. Mike Pompeo, our Secretary of State, it's so blatant. Everything he says is a lie.
Well, what's even more disgusting scam artists posing as activists to divert attention and funds from people who would normally donate to causes of activism to them. A good example is London Real, that jerk. Like, okay, look, I love David Icke.
I believe, with my knowledge of things, that he is 100% spot on, has been for years. Obviously, if he gets asked to do an interview, he's going to be gracious and do it. But that London Real, I don't have one single nice thing. Everything I can think of to call him is just a cuss word. So he's been prancing around. I'm the most dangerous band, censored, little bit on the internet, right? Okay, saying this on his own channel, he is not censored. He is not banned. People, beware of people who stand in front of giant paintings of themselves and talk to you on a GoPro, okay? That's called a malignant narcissist. And this guy, what has he done? Oh, because he's been shrieking and howling and crying that he's the most censored banned person on the internet. He raised $1 million overnight for what he calls his London Real Army. Okay, yeah, there ain't no London Real Army. And it's just so insulting to me and every other genuine whistleblower that I've ever worked with, because I've developed quite an affinity for that because of my own journey, so I know how to help them and to deal with them and relate to them, and that's been my success in Hollywood, whatever little bit you can call it I've had. But guys like that, you know, they just totally jump in and suck all that stuff and co-opt whatever you're trying to say into themselves and profit off of it. And it's just because where was my GoFundMe for? Because I, excuse me, all my stuff is banned. Banned. The only thing still standing is my YouTube channel, and individual videos are disappearing off that, you know, all the time. So,
can people still get your book, Freemasonry, A Cult of Abuses? Can people get that on Amazon, James Wright?
I see it for sale on there, though just know that that Satanic Pedophile ex-publisher of mine, and that's why I terminated the deal, by the way, because even though he got off and wasn't found guilty or anything, I had a knowledge of his dealings that I knew he was, and I severed that relationship on that grounds. I understand that even despite my cease and exists, and cease and desist, yeah, orders and everything that I've sent him, Amazon, that Amazon has even acknowledged, it doesn't matter because he's still trying to sell my book and profit off of it, which is why certainly years ago, I forget how many, I guess as all this was happening, you know, I went on Vinny's show and I said, I'm handing the ebook over to Vinny. He's going to put it on his website, which he did, and it's free. Just have it, because again, Masons at that point in time, if you remember Vinny, they were attacking, saying that this was all just me self-aggrandizing and making shit up and trying to profit off of the poor victim Mason's misery and all this kind of stuff. No.
Exactly. No. We can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that was only like 25% of it. So keep going.
Yeah, so no, I encourage people to continue to either contact me or go to Vinny's website. The ebook is up there. It's free. Please don't support the pedophile that I'm, you know, no longer under contract with, and yet he's still profiting off of me. Yeah.
Vinny, you had some article. What's your take on that coronavirus? Is it the contract tracing? I played that clip from Mike Pompeo. What is your take on what's going on?
You want me to define what I think about the entire coronavirus thing?
Yeah, we've been talking about it. I haven't heard your opinion yet.
So let me see if I've got this right. A whole bunch of globalists go over to China and say, hey, we want to build a technocracy and we want you guys to be a model for it. And they're like, oh, sure. Here's some technology, here's some viruses, here's all of that kind of stuff. Why don't you just get a whole bunch of stuff going for us, and that way we can enslave the world using it as an excuse, bro. Why don't you do that? Oh, of course. You know, did I stutter?
Well, you know, Charles Lieber, he was the Harvard chair of the chemistry and biochem, and he's been arrested. And they're saying, like, oh, they keep saying, when I watch the footage of Charles Lieber of Harvard being arrested, The prosecutors were saying he's giving secrets, patents. He's giving secrets to China. Like, Charles Lieber made coronavirus, but we want, like, $6,000 per death. Almost like, hey, that's our patent. We want residuals on that. You can't just give China the coronavirus for free. Every time they talk about Charles Lieber, they talk about patents and... But his grad students were found going to Wuhan with a suitcase filled with vials of coronavirus. That's what happened. And now the FBI has Charles Lieber in custody. He posted like $3 million bail. So now he's back in his home in Boston. What a Cinderella story. But he's supposed to go back to court. And, I mean, if he doesn't auto-asphyxiate himself like Epstein or Carradine... You know, things could get very interesting. It's like every time one of these guys who knows what's going on goes to testify, they get stonewalled, murdered, or their case goes away, like James's trust fund.
Or James's case for felony burglary. how many people are aware of, like, an episode of Law and Order where the defendant walks in, cusses out his own court-appointed attorney, judge, and district attorney, and turns around and walks out, and the cops that should be arresting him for contempt of court are lining up to take selfies in the court lobby like it was the most hilarious thing they'd ever just seen. None of which, hey guys, this case is even on the books to begin with.
Yeah, I forgot as well that the reason for the show today is I was trying to raise the last $400 for that my wife can actually have a car that can actually fit our child in it. So I'm sorry to interrupt your show here, but ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to raise some money. We've already raised like nearly $1,900 in the last 72 hours, ladies and gentlemen, all thanks to you. And we need, I think, another $400, and that's all, ladies and gentlemen, another $400, and then we are all done. And that would have total, we would have raised maybe $3,600 in total. So because our fridge died and the wife's car blew a head gasket, and they only gave us like $300 for the wreck. So yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you have been a huge, huge support, and I'm absolutely grateful to you. And most of the time I'm not that grateful. I'm sorry, I can't take praise. I'm a completely ungrateful little shit. And a lot of times, you know, you just want me to say, hey, thank you very much for your donation, you know, that kind of thing, and email you, and I haven't been doing that, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm really sorry about
that. Where can people donate? Where can people donate, Vinny Eastwood?
They can donate at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. And on the website there is a patreon.com/Vinny Eastwood link as well on the homepage and in the description of this video. The PayPal email is gorillamedia77@gmail.com. That's gorillamedia77@gmail.com if you want to send a PayPal donation. Those are going to be really handy. It's only about $250 US or $400 New Zealand dollars that we need to raise today, ladies and gentlemen, so that we can put this whole thing to rest and we can get back to our regular scheduled broadcasting without basically them turning into like almost a telethon.
Let me try and assist you in that. You know, because Vinny, we've known each other now almost decades. Like the first show I did, the second show I did. You know, there's been times that I've been down and down, I've been on your show, and as a result, like, your listeners, like, they went to my page and donated stuff, but I just want to add to that, like, don't worry about me right now. You've got a freaking kid, and you've got higher stakes, you know, in your own right. So any of the listeners that, you know, thank you in the past for supporting me and my work, but please don't do that today. Help Vinny, please.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much for that, James. The real difficulty, I think, with it is that people don't take themselves really... they don't give themselves enough credit for what they do, I don't think. And what's problematic about doing my job is because I do it for people for free. Like, for example, you guys ain't paying me to give you the platform here today. We can assume that my job is worthless, right? It doesn't have value because ain't nobody paying for it. And that's not necessarily true. There's literally people who are walking the earth today who are still alive because there is a lighter side to genocide. Because just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't have make it fun, right? Okay, this is just the my little contribution. If other people want to contribute differently to trying to make the world a slightly better place, you know, that's fine. Just personally, I haven't been able to see people delivering the news or delivering really serious content and actually having a bit of a laugh at it at the same time. Like, it's either it's all comedy about serious stuff or it's all serious about serious stuff. And it's like, no, let's just not take the serious stuff too seriously, bro. Let's just be genuine. Let's just have a laugh. Let's be good. Let's have fun. And the thing about it is this show's been going for over a decade now. And it was nearly a decade ago that James first came on the show when I was a young up-and-comer. And now I'm an old burnout. So the question is...
Me too, my brother.
Remember I first got to Hollywood? I didn't know anyone. I was so scared. And you would sit with me, Vinny, at night on the phone, listening to me cry... And giving me, you know, all at your own time and generosity lessons and, okay, quick, how to learn GarageBand, how to learn this. And, you know, you were there for me like a brother, like when all that started. So when you say to people that you have helped back and grow whistleblowers, I mean... that's an understatement, because you've been the only person in this business over this time span who has not thrown in and sold out, and you're just such a good guy.
Let's also not forget Mark Passio and James Corbett, who also haven't sold out yet, or Max Egan. I can't actually name anybody else because I don't really know. But those guys I know.
Because you're the only one I personally know.
You've got a point there.
Yeah. So, but no, it's. I mean, man. But you know, that's what's so scary about this current situation is when we first were doing this game a decade ago. I mean, it was quite easy to circumvent the majors by using the alternative in indie. But that, where are most of those people now that they're gone? The censorship is so heavy on them that this fact. Checking, which is laughable, you know, has made them, myself, I mean, I don't know why I even have a Facebook page anymore, because I'm never allowed to log in and post things on it, or like things, or share things, or anything. It's become useless. It's become basically a bulletin board for other people to post things, you know, for me, or that compliment what I would be posting, you know. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There is no more freedom of speech or press, and now they're trying to do with the whole assembly thing, with the social distancing, which is total ridiculous, stupid shit. The real reason is because big data is trying to find out with their new rewritten code, you know, how far people need to be away from each other for it to work, or devices to exchange information and all this kind of stuff. That's why.
So the six feet is the accuracy of the GPS on your phone. So if everyone's lining up in Starbucks 6 feet away, everyone's iPhone can go, oh, I know exactly what tile you're standing on in the Starbucks.
Yeah, well, see, this is, okay, you'd almost want to ask yourself, like, why bother with the 5G in the first place? Because Elon Musk and Starlink, okay, that's what's been launching all these rockets from SpaceX to make this sort of global satellite internet. So, you know, of course, the humanistic PR spin on it is that, you know, to bring internet to third world impoverished countries.
You know what it is?
With vaccines.
You know what it really is? It's just so that those elites can be anywhere on Earth in the most beautiful jungle or secluded place, and still have porn on their phone.
Well, it's also to see who all's in, you know, tribes they haven't yet slaughtered or what.
Yeah, no. Each one of those satellites covers 15 kilometers of space that they could read the fine print on the newspaper on your front porch from. And that's just to say that they can only see outside the house. No, they can see inside. There is something to be said for having lead paint nowadays. Make lead paint great again. There's just hashtag.
The kids that are off from school can eat all those paint chips.
Yeah.
The kids that are off from school now, do you think that they're going to be, like, stunted and traumatized from this? You know, I remember I saw 9/11 when I was 16 years old in high school, and they brought us in the library to watch it. Maybe I was 15.
Well, is that the Nicolas Cage or the Charlie Sheen version?
and we watched these towers go.
Kids graduating right now. They're not old enough to remember things before.
I'm trying to say I was traumatized by watching the towers go down. These kids today, they're having drive-through graduations, drive-through birthdays. They're missing a year of school. They're going to be, like, you know, kind of traumatized from this, you know?
It's almost as if they're being programmed.
If somebody told me that, Vinny, you have to take a year off of school, I would be like, damn, how unfortunate. Yeah.
Well, it's ridiculous.
They might be a year dumber, though.
No one is transmitting some disease. Yes, there is a coronavirus. Yes, the United States made it in a lab as a bioweapon, but it wasn't a very good one. It was a flop, and it's neither here nor there. And no one... The social distance... I can't believe how quickly, overnight, especially in places here like California... It's renowned for its activism and hell to the no and all that. How quickly they, like, okay, I came into this interview start in a really bad mood because I'd been up to Subway trying to get some lunch. And, I put on my mask because I just want to get in and get out. I don't believe in wearing masks. I'm just trying to be in, be out, get my food, and go without incident. Well, not with me, because I'm talking to tell them what I want on my sandwich, and it slips down past my nose. And the two women behind the counter start shrieking like banshees, screaming at me. Like, you're contaminated. You're contaminated. And that's when I said, that's it.
Holy shit!
I went the fuck off on them. Called them everything but a child of God, and said this is all a hoax. And it's people like you who welcomed in Hitler, and they didn't like hearing that. And screamed at me to get the fuck out, gladly, because my business.
You know, there's just no pleasing some people, James.
I would have just
said, some people are on a power trip, like these Walmart employees who are yelling at everybody, like brown shirts, to social distance, 6 feet, 6 feet. Guess what?
Enjoy the
power trip because you're about to be 86th for robots. So enjoy.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that you've got to really hand it to the New World Order on this occasion, mate. They have brainwash the living hell out of people. They are scared of something that is absolutely invisible, okay? They're scared of something that is odorless, tasteless, and invisible, okay?
They're driving in their cars, windows up, recirculation on, car has an air filter, and the windows are up and all that, and they have their mask on, and they're by themselves. Do you realize how dangerous that is? You can asphyxiate on your own CO2 and pass out and plow into a tree, a bus full of nuns, you know, whatever, but...
An argument can be made for natural selection at this point, I think. I remember one time I was down in Dunedin, I think I was like 19 or something like that, and me and my mate were walking home. We saw these two kids, maybe even like 9 years old or something, just playing with a shopping trolley in the middle of the road. And I said to my mate, hey, maybe we should go over there and do something about this, man. And he goes, natural selection.
Oh, yeah, I was walking down. I walked to the store a week or so ago. Walking back down, went up to something to drink, and walking back down the sidewalk, this old man walking his dog
jumps 2 feet to, like, away from me, like almost into the street, and starts cussing me out. You little son of a bitch! You need to put on your mask. It's people like you who go around spreading. And I was at him, and I said, "Get yourself a fucking education, you moron!" And he about had a heart attack. I kind of honestly admit wish he would, because yeah, it's stupid. And since when did ignorance, willful ignorance, become this like season pass to go around being smug and rude to everyone? I don't like it, and every time someone does it to me, like back there at that fucking Subway, which will never get my business again, I give it right back. Except what I'm yelling at them is the truth. What they're yelling at me is moron, stupid, zero IQ, dumb shit. And that's what has changed with me. I already know I was impatient as hell. But now this? No, I don't have time for this bullshit. I'm trying to do what I can in the privileged capacity I can to out what I can, however I can, to attempt to stop this, because, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but, yeah, that there's the Darwinism argument for the stupid weeding themselves out of this equation, but I don't want to go down with the ship, you know? Just because they ran it into an iceberg doesn't mean that I just want to stand there and, oh, well, you know, have a brandy.
Well, as the old saying goes, ladies and gentlemen, hell hath no fury like a gray, like a gay Freemason scorned. Now,
Vinny Eastwood, you're in the Commonwealth. You're under the rule of the British Crown. I read a statistic, and tell me if you've heard this, that everyone in the Commonwealth, every man, woman, and child, pays $1,000 a year to the British royal family. Now, when Prince Andrew goes on the Lolita Express with his credit card that is made from the ivory of the backbone of the working man, everyone's paying $1,000 to a month. His credit card always works when he takes the Lolita Express. What do you see happening? Do you see, because Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, is also saying, you know, we got to investigate Prince Andrew. I just think these are geopolitical chess moves where they're trying to make each other look bad, but really everyone in Washington, D.C.
What happened?
Is the creep.
Andrew got called out. Harry dipped. Okay, he made a French exit like I did for L.A. And what do we hear now ever since that? Everything in the media about the royals is how dare Harry live off taxpayer money and ditch out on his poor, sweet, innocent brother who needs him. No, I'm sorry. And by the way, while everybody's been sitting there reading that shit, Prince Andrew has resumed work as a head of state, and he is resumed receiving taxpayer money. Okay, that's where the conversation needs to be. Not on Harry is in LA because he didn't want his own baby eaten by that family. So
and Vinny Eastwood would have a that,
folks.
Vinny's wife would have a car if they didn't have to give $1,000 a year to the fucking British royal family for the pleasure of living in the Commonwealth.
Well, again, that was supposed to be a question for me, but I don't understand what the actual question was. Do I have to pay a grand?
I sent you some pictures. So, the royal family, as New Zealanders might want to pay special attention at this moment, as well as people in Australia or wherever that the British Empire reaches, so they've been doing this Zoom conference crap where they look like the tiles on the Brady Bunch intro, you know, and how wonderful, and oh, we're social distancing in our vast palaces with our vast staff, but, you know, you as Britons should continue doing the same, good job, well done, cheerio. Okay, I found the Twitter handle of one of William's body doubles, where he says, "Most awkward Zoom call ever," referencing that. From that, I found the website where you hire these people
And I'm not talking about for your 40th birthday party, for your dad's retirement party, for your company's, like, casual Friday, whatever. No, these are, like, you look at the resumes, list of appearances, it's all BBC, CBS, CNN, ABC, and this major bank. But that is, these are the people that come out in public and say that they're the royals. The real royals, oh, they're social distanced, all right. They always have been. That's why they got so mad at Diana for trying to make people believe that royals should be out, you know, amongst their peasant class, attempting to understand them. And this is just all so disgusting. And so I sent you that slew of screenshots that I took of all this. It's like, have Charles for your dinner, or the Queen.
We can run through them if you like. I mean, so, I'm sharing screen with you right now. We can switch to share screen for the audience and then just go back and have a look through those screenshots one by one. I'm not sure if they're in any particular order, but there's a whole bunch of them here.
Yeah, I'm looking at one.
There's some that are text about the actor playing William. He mentioned something about, like, sorry about the passing of Caroline Flack. And then you read about that article and it's like, what the hell is going on here? Because she was a journalist, and maybe she found out what I'm saying right now. I don't know.
I saw one that looks like princecharles.co.uk, where you can hire a royal. That one right there. So if you look at the top of the screen, it says princecharles.co.uk. You can hire a royal clone to come to your bar mitzvah or wedding engagement. Look at that.
Yep. There's one for all of them. Or at least all the main ones.
You can hire a Queen Elizabeth lookalike. But are these lookalikes, James, or clones? What do you think?
They're saying lookalikes, but I don't know.
But they could be harvested for organs?
Some of them definitely look pretty damn clonish, and I think everybody at this point has pretty much seen The Rise of Skywalker, so, you know, if Palpatine wants to have another shot at life, maybe he can get one.
Yeah, well, most people would think that that's impalpable, but, yeah.
Oh, that's more on target to what the truth really is than they have any clue. It's all a bloodline thing. The Palpatine line, the Skywalker line. Where do you think George Lucas got this idea from?
Well, the original thing for Star Wars, I believe, the original design logo was the Illuminati all-seeing eye. So, you know, the Star Wars, you know, and the original script had that big logo on the front of it. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm starting to think that my studies into the occult and dark conspiracy and my movie-watching addiction have actually kind of come full circle, where I'm starting to see all the occult stuff in the cinema and starting to see all the cinematic stuff in the occult.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And, they, you know, they don't... And people, like, okay, what I will say that was one positive about this Dallas fiasco and being kidnapped and tortured and by police feds and it all being super off the books. One positive that came out of it was that for years and years, people that I, you know, friends, people I'd worked around in Los Angeles, you know, they obviously believed in the quality of my work and they believed that I had published a nonfiction book and therefore it was honest in its accounting and that I have pretty good ethics and everything. But I think a lot of them probably thought that maybe because of the PTSD or whatever, that, you know, I was embellishing some stories or something whenever someone would corner me and bring up my family, which ordinarily, in 10 years, I mean, when have you heard me harp on my family? But, you know, I always kind of dodged that until it came back into my life. And then I had to address it, and now, you know, it's, like, gone completely crazy. But
But them going crazy and putting on that bad, bad performance at the Dallas County Courthouse, me getting the audio on every single bit of all of this, it's really vindicated me back in Los Angeles, because now people understand that, oh my God, it really is as bad as he said. And because that's the thing about that occult imagery in Hollywood, is there's very few Masons left running around in Hollywood, because Californians don't really care for stuff like Freemasonry. But that's not to say that there are ones here who are in all the right places to put all the right imagery in all the right things. So that's the disconnect between the average working person in Hollywood and the reality of the situation with the occult overlays.
Yeah, and if people don't believe that, I think one time I went through a list of screenshots that I had. I just decided to take screenshots of movies for a year or two, and every single movie that I watched, ladies and gentlemen, I had got a screenshot of either a Masonic floor, mm-hmm. a mention of the number 33, or a screenshot of an all-seeing eye, all in the movie, all at pivotal points of the story where something changed, or the lead exposition of the story was about to take place. Like they suddenly find that the drug dealers are cops in Street Kings, for example. And as he goes up the staircase to meet these drug dealer cops, he sees Illuminati all-seeing eye on the lampshade. Or when in Death Proof in the 1970s, he is about to go home to find his wife and daughter murdered in his apartment. And the scene right before that, he is in buying groceries, and he lives at number 33. And then when he walks into the building, it has a Masonic floor. So this thematic peppering of this imagery and these themes throughout Hollywood is absolutely real, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe it was Frederick on this show some time ago who actually read out a document that explained this, saying that they wanted to put the imagery of ancient Egypt in front of people because the occult practices of Freemasonry was the kind of society that they wanted to create. And subliminally, without even noticing, ladies and gentlemen, this imagery has had an effect on you, whether you know it or not.
You know, one thing.
And that's, you remember, Vinny, it was through you that a guest of yours, Tila Tequila, got in contact with me, and I basically was validating her claims of this very thing. And sadly, and I've always been heartbroken about this, after that, you know, union occurred and I started feeding her information and she was validating her own claims on her own show, that's when they went after her. And I believe that they, you know, did things to her.
Because, folks, if you guys see that Tila Tequila interview, the edited version is the one that's up, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let me just explain something that's going on right here, right now on this show. You can hear James, you can hear Eric, you can hear me. We can hear each other, okay? That's like six things that could possibly go wrong right there, okay? And there are nine possible things that can go wrong in a show. When I interviewed Tila Tequila, all nine of them went wrong, okay? The landline that we would call would cut out. The cell phone we would call would cut out. The Skype call would cut out. My entire internet company for my entire region of Auckland got cut out for 30 minutes of a two-hour broadcast. This was the most difficult show I had ever done.
You know, I found that in the music industry, like I watch a lot of music videos, I'm a fan of music, but one thing I noticed is that a lot of people in the video will wear pants that are black and white checkerboard, like a chessboard. Now, that will seem like not a big deal. Oh, they have checkered pants. But if you look at Tones and I, Dance Monkey, the whole time the lead singer is wearing these checkered pants, and I think that is a clear symbol. The black and white checkerboard is the floor that you are initiated onto in Freemasonry. Yes. And Melody, so I have this real quick clip I want to play. There's a Illuminati princess called Melody Martinez. She did a song called Principle. And there's one line that I'm going to play from Melody Martinez's Principle, where if you don't think that the Illuminati is into sacrifice, you're not listening to music videos.
Now, just before you
play, hold on. Hold on, let me play this real quick, okay? You hear that?
Not specifically. What are you talking about?
Let me play this one more time.
No. Play it one more time.
Okay.
It might violate copyright or some shit.
Oh, okay.
Tell us what she said.
She says, killing kids all day and night. She's in front of a principal and these wizened... Okay, look up Melody Martinez's principal. Okay, these judges are sitting in Masonic clothes. She's on the checkerboard and she goes, you know, dear principal, what you do is you kill kids all day and night. That's in the first 40 seconds of this music video.
Wow, man.
Interestingly, Cardi is the only person presently to come out and say that this coronavirus is a hoax. Interestingly, I find personally, the music video, again, Masonic checker floors, all that kind of stuff, for the song Press, that dropped right at the heat of the shit show that was going on with me and Dallas in the courthouse. It's interesting to look at.
What's the band?
When you know about what happened, it's Cardi B and the song Press, the music video for Press. And I did kind of behave badly at the courthouse, and it's just an interesting video to see, considering it came out right at the tail end of that crap. Yeah, so...
So I just want to, again, remind people that this is a listener-supported broadcast, and we're trying to raise $400. We've already raised $1,900, and the car that we're getting for my wife and baby is $2,300 New Zealand dollars. So that's about, need about, what's that, $350 US or something like that. So donate that, ladies and gentlemen, into the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We've got Kiwi Bank account numbers on there. PayPal email is gorillamedia77@gmail.com. gorillamedia77@gmail.com if you want to donate through PayPal for the international audience. And please, I want to actually just take a moment here just to thank the listeners and those people who loyally donate regularly through the Kiwi Bank and PayPal. Now, on the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, there's a little drop-down bar on those little PayPal buttons, so you can give us $1 a month, $1.50, or $50 a month, you know, that kind of thing. So just choose what you can, ladies and gentlemen, and please support the show, because we definitely need to be able to have my wife be able to like drive around and stuff like that with the baby. It's kind of essential for a mother to have her transport. So any help you can be, ladies and gentlemen. We've already had so much donations and so much support comes in. We are this close. We are this close to the end here, ladies and gentlemen. So please give hard and give deep. So back to my special guests, James Wright, Freemason whistleblower, and Eric Hollaback, comedian. Guys, thank you very much for joining me on the show today.
It's a pleasure. Can I do a shameless plug? Because I got something cool coming out.
Sure. This show's kind of like a bathtub. Doesn't work without a plug.
So on Amazon Prime, I'm sure you'll get it in New Zealand and everywhere in the Commonwealth, I hope. But Conspiracies and Dick Jokes is coming out. That's my first 30-minute stand-up. It's coming out on Amazon Prime. Check it out. Conspiracies and Dick Jokes. It'll be free if you have the subscription already for Amazon.
Yeah. Of course, then, after the executives... But of course, after the executives watch this show with Eric on it, that's going to be pulled from Amazon Prime. So get it while it's hot, ladies. go ahead, James.
Yeah, and speaking of executives, so my little plug is, please visit crusademedia.org or the Crusade Media YouTube channel while it still stands, because there you will find most recent things that I have uploaded, which are posing as a PR department person from Merck Pharmaceutical, infiltrated a meeting of the minds of the executives of IBM, preaching to their PR audience of how to market this, that, the other. One of those videos is where they come out and say that, oh, by the way, the way we've been tracking everybody all these years is through the Weather Channel apps on their phone, whether built in or downloaded at your consent. That's been the actual thing isolated, we can say and give a name that Edward Snowden never does, which that's a whole other tangent that I don't want to get off on.
I think there's a great pun in there. They're going to download it onto your phone whether you like it or not.
Well, yeah, like health is now on the Apple. Yeah. And doesn't everybody remember back in with Microsoft Windows 95, that's old enough to remember, and how much trouble Bill Gates got into, and what was that over? Because he wouldn't allow Windows 95 users to uninstall Microsoft Internet Explorer and have the choice of their own browser. And he paid dearly, okay? This is the same thing, different day, except instead of Microsoft Windows, we're talking about fucking vaccines, which are just as big of a scam and inferior product as Microsoft Windows, and he still has all the same arguments, which is, oh no, the government can't get involved. That just stands in the way of innovation. Innovation of what? And what did he ever innovate? People, wake up. Like, Bill Gates is a moron. He's a dropout. He's never written any code. He bought a company. He's another trust fund brat.
Yeah, his first gig that he actually got for all of this was organized by his mother, because he was sitting at home eating too much pizza and drinking too much Pepsi, and she wanted to get him the fuck off the couch. Right, that's his claim to fame, ladies and gentlemen. That's how hard he worked to get where he is now. His mother hooked it up.
So this,
I'd like to string him up myself, and anybody should. This is lynch mob time. I'm saying that is me. Not saying your show endorses that statement or anything. Me, James Wright, I'm saying, you see a 5G transmitter, take out your gun and shoot it down. You see
I'm not sure where we can actually do that on the air here, James. But by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to put a special broadcast to the moderators at YouTube right now and just tell you something very serious, and I want you to listen. Please don't take my channel, mate. Please don't take my channel, bro. Fuck.
Yes.
Can I tell you some
views of James Robert Wright in no way reflect the views of any Eastwood show or any of its. Yes.
I have some information about Bill Gates I'd like to share. Number one, he flew on the Lolita Express with Prince Andrew and Bill Clinton. He was on the plane. He went from Teterboro Airport, which is in New Jersey, but it's right next to New York City. He went from Teterboro to Florida Palm Beach Island. That is in the flight log. So that's a fact. Bill Gates flew on the Lolita Express, number one. Number two, Bill Gates...
So did Trump,
and so did Bill Clinton, and so did Hillary, to go eat underage vagina. But the other thing I want to say about Bill Gates is there was two things, Linux and Microsoft. So Linux was a open source operating system. All these hippies were like, we have to make this free. We'll code for free. It'll be called Linux. And then Bill Gates took all their shit, and he goes, we're going to make this into a corporate institution. And then he made Microsoft, and then he became the richest person in the world. And when you're the richest person in the world, that means that you're the least generous person in the world. So you could have given your employees hundreds of millions of dollars each, but instead you said, you know what, you'll work for $4.48 per hour. I'm going to be the richest person in the world because I'm a sociopath who stole everything from Linux, which was supposed to be an open source thing. So it's like, it's the difference between Tesla and Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison said, along with J.P. Morgan, we have to put a price tag on everything. And that is exactly what Bill Gates did with operating systems when he made Microsoft.
And I can add to that from the research I've been doing recently. Microsoft Windows is set up to fail in the end by Bill Gates himself, because MS-DOS is not the code language of this new Internet of Things. Linux is. And all this hacking and all this contact tracing and the code that powers your very Mac computer is all Linux. The code inside of your digital clock or your Raspberry Pi or your... But it's all Linux. And so all of this hacking is being done in your HIPAA, your privacy, medical privacy, your basic privacy. All that's being violated because if they get caught, they already have their excuses lined up in that, well, we got all this off of GitHub. It was open source Linux. Like when a Hollywood producer steals your script, and oh, I found it on the subway. Yeah. So, and this is the same thing, same business model. Create this crappy product, Windows, okay? Make it to where, oh, we're going to come out with a new version every, you know, so you have to buy the same thing again and again and again for no real point, and it sucks, and you're stuck with it, okay? Same thing with his vaccine business model. These vaccines, by his own admission, they're only going to last, like, a year, and you're going to have to come in and renew your, like, Office 365 membership and your vaccine fee, and if you survive each round of them, then, you know, you must be part of Hitler's master race, because this is all Nazi eugenics.
You know how they've got Microsoft Flight Simulator? I think it was, like, Microsoft Vaccination Simulator, and you've got to, like, go into villages and stuff like that and, like, kill children by injecting them with stuff, you know?
Oh, there's a clip that keeps getting posted and taken down of Bill Gates saying only 3 years ago, right after Trump was elected, that, he's been talking about forming a committee to investigate the safety of vaccines. He doesn't need to do that. That would not go well. That would be bad. And he says this. And, I mean, I pulled up for you right now, but I'm coming to you through just the phone because...
Well, Indonesia, you know, the country of Indonesia has found Bill Gates guilty of war crimes because he vaccinated a bunch of poor people so that they wouldn't breed. He vaccinated them and sterilized their genitalia, and they had all these injuries, yes. And the country of Indonesia found him guilty of war crimes, so, you know, they don't have much jurisdiction, but if Bill Gates steps foot on Indonesian soil in the future, he will be arrested for crimes against humanity for vaccinating and injuring thousands of people who have got their own Indonesian lawyers and have registered this with the magistrate. But of course Bill Gates will never go there, because if the Lolita Express plane doesn't go there, then he's not really too interested, you know? The piece of shit.
By the way,
Bill Gates' documentaries on the Corbett Report channel. Now Corbett's on Library, he's on BitChute and stuff like that, and these documentaries are a real eye opener. This guy's a complete scumbag. Like, you know how you have to, like, work for a living or something like that? What this guy does is he creates a contract so that everybody else has to work for a living and he collects the proceeds. That's what he's good at.
Oh, he's a philanthropist. He's a philanthropist. He's the greatest philanthropist in the world. No, you're the richest person in the world. You don't pay your fucking employees.
Oh, my God. It's my favorite thing lately with this fact and all of this. Okay, so Melinda Gates goes on, CNN, and she wears a freaking upside-down cross, the satanic bitch. The internet goes wild with this. Snopes comes out with their fact-checking and says... Fact checking, partly false. Melinda Gates appeared and wore a piece of jewelry, but she did not denounce Christianity. Well, no, she never brought that up. She never said anything about Christianity. She was
just a couple of the.
She was able to push vaccines. But the part about her having the upside down cross on, oh yeah, so it was partly false, you see.
No, that's because I killed a baby for Satanism, so you didn't write the whole story, so it's partially true, because... and that's the inversion, so you have the crucifix, you know?
Whoa, this reminds me of Tony Blair. You know, Tony Blair, you've killed 250,000 people in Iraq. How do you feel about that? Well, I think you'll find it was only 100,000.
Yeah. Tony Blair, another... Because, look, okay, and this is what Trump people need to understand. Trump got elected for the same reason Barack Obama got elected, that Lynn Cheney admitted to on television on Good Morning America very blatantly with a complete smugness. The clip is out there still on YouTube. And Burke's Peerage, the definitive... authority figure of genealogy on the planet over in London, they have for years publicly said and done this little ha-ha thing where they predict who will win the U.S. presidential election, okay? And I can always tell you who will or whatever, because if you run the genealogy against the Queen of England, the one with the closest tie, so if there's two candidates running, chances are, you know, they all are, or whatever, but it's going to come down to who has the closest tie. Here's the thing about Donald Trump. His daddy picked his mama for a very specific reason, because her maiden name was McLeod, and she was the last of the McLeods, which means that Donald Trump is the current head of Clan McLeod. Same situation as Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada. His mama was the last of Clan Sinclair. So, by the way, this United States of America, that's real cute, but it's actually called the Virginia Company. The president is actually the CEO. The first act as a newly inaugurated CEO is to go over and bow to who? The Queen. And people need to realize real quick, George Washington... Yeah, he died very comfortably, very wealthy, and very much so in his West End London home. Okay?
Yeah. And that's the thing. People don't understand that, because they probably think genealogy involves the study of Aladdin. All right? Like, bro, the people are stupid as fuck out there, bro. They actually think that there's nothing behind this. Like,
well, no, they listen to that 23andMe crap, which pushes this idea that, you know, it's all the same, which is to make you not think that they think otherwise and know otherwise. No, we're not all the same. And that is, I'm not making some statement here saying that one is better than the other or something like that. No, I'm just saying each race is unique into itself. And there are psychopaths out there who believe that theirs is the correct one and that all the others need to go. And the most successful ones doing this are the German Nazi eugenicists. That's why every member of that royal family is German, except, of course, they had to bring Diana Spencer in, because the Spencers are England. They are as much England as the story of King Arthur or the Plantagenets or whatever, because... they needed to, their image was fading, you know, and they had to bring someone in like her to rehabilitate their image, and it did do that until she, having had enough, said, that's it, I'm done, and to hell with all of you, and, you know, unfortunately, it cost her life. And Henry, actually, obviously knows these things. There's a clip that was cut from the news of that interview he gave of why he was leaving. And the part that people didn't hear was him saying, you know, this is not me being paranoid. If people knew what I knew, they'd do the same. And I'm completely able to relate to him on that. And oh my God. Like, I mean, he needs help. He needs our help. There's no way for him to express that because he's still operating, you know, being on the fresh outs of that net. And I can tell you what that's like when I was a fresh runaway from the Masons. I mean, they were throwing everything they had at me. So I'm pretty sure they're throwing everything they've got, you know, Royals, at him right now.
I remember one time you were talking about how every time the phone rang and you hung up, it would start ringing again, and it would do that from different numbers, a kind of thing.
Yes. Yes. Actually, it's gotten so bad now, especially with what I'm working on with this. And the only reason I started looking into this is because, again, I was in Dallas, and I hear my family's own CBS station on air doing and saying weird things that I know are not possible, and I go down there to the building to walk. I've always been able my whole life, whether I'm on the ins or outs with my family, doesn't matter. They still know me down there and allow me in to just wander around, and I couldn't do that this time because there was nobody there. So whatever those broadcasts were, they were being pumped in remotely and were prepared. And meanwhile, all CBS employees were on paid leave, and a lot still are.
Now, I was just thinking about this as well. We talk about Trump and Q very rarely on this show because of the amount of distraction and the division that it causes. Just like racism or sex or something like that, all of a sudden people have got their heckles up and they're incredibly interested and they're fighting about it or whatever. And that way you're not thinking. And that way you're not actually listening. You're just following some kind of ideological claptrap. Just blah, 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 I'm right, you're wrong, I don't have to listen to you. And it's like, dude, okay,
yes.
Are we not being divided and conquered so masterfully, right? Masterfully. You've never seen anything like it. And now in New Zealand here, we've got another party that's coming out of nowhere and a huge amount of public support on this, and I'm not sure how it's happening, that kind of thing, but they've asked me to help them out this election, and I might, I know. We've got to see about that.
What is the party called? It's a political party?
Yeah, the NZPP, bro, the New Zealand Public Party.
Look, if people need to understand how they're being played, at least here in America, with this defund the police and Black Lives Matter. No, they're being played. I'm going to pull the phone. Y'all keep talking. I'm going to try and find the screenshots of this memo from the DOJ I was just given the other day by someone.
I think if you do that, then you wind up closing the call on yourself. But, yeah.
No, I think I know how to do it because I'm on... I had to go get a freaking second phone and open it under an alias identity just to get myself a little bit of an ability back to make phone calls.
But just about Black Lives Matter, it's so interesting that, you know, the Commonwealth supports a monarchy, and the monarchy, they have perfect blood. They have perfect blood. My semen is perfect. I have to sometimes freshen it up.
That's what happens when you talk about Bolshevik Lives Matter, ladies and gentlemen. You get cut off in the middle of your sentence.
Oh, it cut off?
You know.
Let me try again.
Shirts matter. Yeah, you did, but go ahead.
All right, let me try again. So Black Lives Matter, you know, but the British royal family has perfect blood. So you have to give them $1,000 a month, right? As everyone in the Commonwealth does. They have to give the monarchy $1,000.
Oh, sorry, I've never been given a bill like that. I don't know where you get your information.
Well, what are you taxed in any way? Is there sales tax, property tax?
Personally, I think there's goods and services tax, that kind of thing.
Oh, my interesting.
A bit unique because I don't sell products or services or do work for people, that kind of thing. I just tell the truth and do what's right, and people give me money. And so it can't be taxed.
Okay. Well, I think most people who work 9 to 5, you know, I think that's where this comes through. You get your tax statement and whatever goes, that's how they come to the figure of $1,000 a month.
As far as I know, when it comes to, you know, taxation and stuff like that, all taxation is theft. And 100% of the 30% income tax that the government collects every year through the Inland Revenue Department under force of, you know, jail or that kind of thing, 100% of that money goes directly to pay the interest of the foreign bankers who made the money up out of thin air and loaned it back to us, right? So, you know, the New Zealand, what people don't understand is that it's a former British banking colony. You ever heard of the Cayman Islands? Okay? Similar thing that we're talking about here. You've got a whole bunch of organized crime that is running the country as an offshore money laundering operation. The New Zealand itself was mentioned 66,000 times in the Panama document leaks. This place has a river of dirty money running through it that would put the Shawshank Redemption to shame, bro. It's absolutely crazy how corrupt this country is and how easily people are hoodwinked into thinking like, oh, you've got these wonderful Maoris and grass skirts and beautiful mountains and stuff like that. There could be anything bad going on there. Like, that's the tourism industry talking, bro. That's not how it really happened. God damn it! You know, that's the problem with the Dunning-Kruger effect, ladies and gentlemen. If you know a hell of a lot about a subject, you won't be that confident about the claims that you make, because you know that there's a fair amount of stuff that you don't know that you don't know. But if you don't know anything about a subject, you'll be very, very confident in the things that you're talking about, because you have no idea how much you don't know.
Well, you know, Miami was built by cocaine money from the Clintons, selling the cocaine to keep the CIA going. That's Miami. I mean, so that's been proven in a movie called Cocaine Cowboys.
Did the two pages that I just sent come through to y'all in any way?
Yeah, I see something here. Hold on. Okay.
Yeah, you might want to get those up on the screen and read them to the audience so that they understand that this the police are so bad is really just another piece of bad theater.
Sorry, what do you mean? Where did you send these?
I'm forwarding them now. I got you.
I got them, yeah.
By the way, use that photograph of me in the future, Vinny Eastwood, because the one you're using is very old. But I have, that's okay. That's me more recently.
And to that end, I should say that, you know, we were down at the first protest. It was wildly successful downtown Los Angeles recently, where it was all about being tired of the masks and reopen California to help with Hugh Garcetti, the mayor, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And there were white people, brown people, black people, gay people, straight people, Bernie people, Trump people, and everybody was like in unison and together, and there was no division, and it was all aimed squarely at the politicians. And then the next thing you know, we wake up about 3 days later to find news headlines that protesters rioting. Well, now, yes, there were some riots here in Los Angeles, that much is true. But they were few and far between. They only seemed to hit Gucci and Prada in Beverly Hills to scare white people. And they, you know, pallets of bricks showed up. And, you know, to those listening, you're highly unlikely to see a pallet of bricks anywhere in Southern California. Because you see people, we have earthquakes, and brick is the worst idea in the world to build a structure with, because they all crumble.
Was that the DNC? Was that George Soros? Who put those pallet of bricks in the middle of the riot zones?
I don't know. Could have been the police. I predicted all of this in December on PBS Origin when I was up there covering the Portland thing and got fired from CBS Portland in telling the truth. And I gave the correct presentation of what we learned, which was, it was all the feds. The feds were encouraging Antifa, and then on the other side, Patriot Prayer and Proud Boys, to show up thinking that everything was going to be cool and contained, and then kablooey, and all the cops disappeared. Portland was ground zero. Portland was the test run.
Okay, guys, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show, so thank you very much for all your time here today. Thank you very much to everybody in the chat room as well for your contribution. Sorry if we couldn't get to any of your comments or any articles, but it's been good to have somebody else on the show to talk to. The last couple of days have been just sort of like, you know, on the fly. I guess this one is exactly on the fly as well. So that's James Wright, author of Freemasonry's Filthy Rituals, 32nd degree Freemason, and Eric Hollenbeck, comedian, on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening, and go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, donate through PayPal, that's gorillamedia77@gmail.com. There's a little drop down bar for the PayPal buttons on the homepage of thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. You can support us through patreon.com/Vinnie Eastwood and the Kiwi Bank as well. Thank you so much to all the people who regularly donate to support the show. Our goal today is to raise $400 so I can get a car for my wife and baby. So again, thank you very much for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state is Vinnie's jokes.
I accidentally did that. Do you have anything to say? This is episode 256 of Highway Diary. Do you have anything to say that we didn't cover with Vinnie Eastwood? Good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, you too. Man, I wish you were still in Los Angeles. God. It'd be so much fun. Because there's so much happening right now. It's like, I feel like I go to sleep, you know, and I miss 20 things or something. Because that's their strategy, is cause so much to happen all at once that no one can figure out what time of day it is. And, you know, I would love to go. I guess the one thing that I can have more of a chance to go into is like, okay, so if people, like, they go to Crusade Media and they look at the videos that I've posted recently, like the last four or five, I've infiltrated these things where if you don't believe our word for it and you want to sit there and sneer and hiss and call us conspiracy theorists, okay, fine. Don't take our word for it. Go and listen to the meetings that I infiltrated of IBM senior executives telling you all this stuff out of their own mouths as if it is funny and cute, and they are such geniuses for thinking of it, and it's disgusting. And I really think, I mean, heads need to roll. They need to roll. And if that, you know, goes as far as like some angry lynch mobs and stuff, why is that such a bad and wrong thing to be saying? You know, because 100 years ago, it wasn't. That was normal talk. And it's only because of this political correctness that they pushed that we become this society of people who are like, oh my God, I can't believe he just said that. I can't believe he would think that. Well, I'm sorry, people. I mean, do you want to wake up tomorrow and the day after the day and have a decent shot at a good life and a good life for your kids? The time on waiting for the system to fix itself is over, and it's not going to happen. Much like in a more microcosmic example, me foolishly thinking for a period of time with the Masons before I finally fled in terror that the problems there could be resolved internally through the proper channels. No, it can't and won't, because the entire system is corrupted and must go. And we are lucky that we have this document called the Constitution that is sort of like an instruction manual of sorts of how to go about doing this exact very thing. And these people, these politicians, they work for us, not the other way around. Power is an illusion. Knowledge is power. They're withholding knowledge from you. They have you under the impression that because of some badge they wear or some title of senator or this and that, the other president, that they have some kind of eminent domain over you and your property and your loved ones and everything. And no, they don't. They don't have any of that.
They have as much as you give them. And I'm just really, really, like to the two women at that Subway who screamed and screamed at me out of nowhere because I'm in there trying to be their only freaking customer and give them my business and get something to eat on the fly. And I'm opening my mouth to try to talk, to answer the questions they're asking me. My mask slips below my nose, and they take this as an opportunity to treat me abusively. Well, that's the dark side of humanity. There are people who you give them just a little bit of a little teeny tiny bit of power, even if they're working behind schlepping sandwiches in the Subway, that they will use it in an instant to treat others badly. And that's why I met them with equal hostility, because I went in there with the intention of behaving to get my food and just be gone. But no. I couldn't even do that because, you know, one little slip and I'm being screamed at, and how dare they? You just fucking scream at me. Are you out of your mind? I'm going to scream right back. I made a career out of this, you know, if you call it that.
I know, you know, it's just like this pandemic is just like a brilliant scenario because it just confuses and divides so quickly, you know. Now grandma's the problem.
Through the roof, yeah.
Grandma's the problem, you know. The kids coming home from school, they're the problem. They're the enemy. It's not the politicians that are fucking kids on fucking Epstein's Island, you know.
My viewpoint on this is as follows. Everybody that's sitting around on their dead ass watching crap TV or worried about their fantasy football league, you people are just as guilty as the ones bringing in this beast system. Go back and reread your revelation from your Bibles, people. It's all playing out word for word. I'm not a holy roller. I just call them as I see them. Okay? And you are all accepting this beast system. And unless you stop right now, mark my words, you're not going to like what happens to you when you depart this life in this realm. Okay? It's that simple. So keep on bending over and taking it and making it to where collectively we all have to. I won't. I will either die from starvation because I can't buy or sell in this beast system by not taking this vaccine or this chip, whatever mark of the beast. And because that's what it is. It's a coincidence that the bill to make it mandatory in California is HR 6666. I mean, come on, wake up. When governments of the world in unison started closing churches, and a Jesuit pope, when Jesuits can't be pope, wake up, Catholics, sitting there is encouraging this and saying it's wonderful and glamorous and great. If that doesn't wake people the fuck up right there, I don't know what will.
Here it comes. Yeah, the useful idiots are the first to slaughter because they're the ones that betrayed their species.
I have no sympathy for them, actually. I would agree with the elites on one thing. They do probably deserve to die, those people, because they're the ones causing this for the rest of us who ordinarily would be like, fuck that. But, you know, when you have 1 out of 10 people being the people saying, fuck that, you know, and the other 9 are saying, ooh, yes, gimme, 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 that doesn't really help us now, does it? So you see, I'm not doing what I'm doing for everyone. I'm doing it for the world, yes. I'm doing it in the hopes that we still have a world, so people are able to be willfully stupid and assholes about it in the process. But the ones doing it right now, you're part of the problem, not the solution. And this lock, stock, and barrel belief system in what your TV and your government tells you, stop being so fucking dumb. Just stop. And by the way, there is, even though it's received no press, of course, a 20 kilos of gold bullion reward standing out there in the world to be paid to anyone who can provide evidence, meeting a certain set of medically gold standard criteria, that proves that these numbers are real and that there is a pandemic and this coronavirus is out there doing it. Anyone that has that proof has the ability to become 20 kilos of gold bullion, whatever that ungodly amount of money is, richer.
And how do you collect this?
Oh, gosh, there's a website.
Is it the same as the Renting of the Royals website?
No.
I'm just
joking. The Royals would never back this.
Just joking.
Let's see.
Okay, this has been episode 256 of Highway Diary with James Wright and Vinny Eastwood. Bye, everybody.